the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. These new days are odd because I feel like I'm hardly on the radio anymore. It's 2 days a week. I guess I'm not hardly on the radio. I hope you're enjoying Jerome's podcast because I appreciate his point of view. We really appreciate you joining us here. Today is December 11th, 2017. We're almost done with 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here, and it is super foggy outside. So I don't know what it's like where you're at, but thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. This morning, we have on with us a friend of our show, Dave Parrish, who runs Operation Save the Earth. He does a weekly podcast on YouTube, which is a don't miss, called Fuku Friday. So, Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me again, Lonnie. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, I personally really appreciate your podcast. I do have to say that I think, you know, what your podcasts do is they're kind of like little pep talks for people that want to stay engaged on this, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody needs some encouragement, and I know it's hard doing what we do. Activism is not hard. You know, you don't choose it, it chooses you, right? So, you know, once you're sucked into that, you know, keeping up with it and, you know, staying healthy about it and, you know, doing all the right things for yourself, it's not easy, you know. So, you know, if my podcast is able to help a few people out and give them encouragement, I'm super happy about that.
That's awesome. So, look, I want to talk to you about your website, Operation Save the Earth. Mm-hmm. It looks like you've done some recent work on it, updating it and stuff. And I have to say, the one place I know for myself, the one thing that I find the most valuable on your website is the links page. Because when I first got involved in this, part of the reason I took the direction I did is because I didn't see anybody out there. You know, it's not like there's big advertisements of, oh, here's an anti-nuke group out here helping you. And so your Absolutely. Links page has tons of links of people that are actually doing things, organizations that are doing things, YouTube resources, international connections. How did you find all these links? How did you, like, that was really incredible.
Thanks for asking about that, Lonnie. Yeah, I mean, I like you, when I first started the journey with the Fukushima nuclear disaster in 2011, I was like, okay, Internet, show me your resources. And then I'm going to these really old anti-nuclear websites that hadn't been updated since 1998. And I was like, wow, we can do so much better than this. So that's when I really just sort of buckled down and said, okay, who's really doing the good work? Who is really focused in on this Fukushima nightmare? And I just started plucking these websites and blogs and video resources out of wherever I could. And, you know, the ones that have kept up, you know, are still up on the site. The ones that haven't, you know, have you know, we've had to take those down because they're already down themselves. You know, no use keeping broken links up. And, you know, I think that's really, you know, the number one resource that we have on our website, at least, is that link section, because it's like you said, you know, it gives people an opportunity to go do their own research, not just from Operations Save the Earth point of view, but, I mean, go just listen to some other people, other voices, other perspectives about this, because, I mean, it really runs the entire spectrum. You know, there's just so many different people from all around the world, all walks of life, doing incredible, you know, research and things that are important to this. So, you know, being able to compile that list and keep it up, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's the most comprehensive link section you will find about the Fukushima nightmare on the web, period.
It is, and actually it's not just focused on Fukushima, it's all about stopping this insane nuclear industry, because really they want us to believe that there's nobody out there. So your interest in this must be some kind of a nutter theory or something. You know, you're not the masses of people. But my experience is most people, when they begin to understand the harm that nuclear continues to give all of us, they start to, like, for me, one of my big things that I taught, this is how I break into people. A lot of people are all obsessed with their weight, right? And but one of the things Dr. John Goffman talked about repeatedly, and Arthur Taplin, was that exposure to radioactive contaminants causes your body to be diabetic and pre-diabetic, which is where most people are. And, you know, Jerome had a guest on last week, gosh, I forgot his name, but he basically, Jerome, he's a doctor living in Brazil, and Jerome said something about, you're an expert in low-level waste radiation. The guy's like, let's be clear, we no longer have low-level radiation on the planet after World War II's, the bombing they did post-World War II, and especially since post-Fukushima. We're beyond low-level. This is why we're seeing negative effects worldwide. I mean,
I mean, it's a host of problems. It's not just cancer and leukemia, right? It's heart disease, it's diabetes, it's, you know, there's so many things linked to exposure to radiation that it's hard to keep track of it all. You know, I don't know how doctors do it, and to be honest with you, the most don't, right? If you go to your family physician and start talking about Fukushima to them, you know, they just kind of roll their eyes, you know, internet rumor and blah, 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 and it's like, you know, believe me, I have educated my family physician, and he knows exactly where I'm coming from, because my family physician before, I've had to switch doctors, actually, because, you know, this other doctor was telling my mom to, you know, just, you know, go ahead and keep eating sushi. I'm like, really? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Physician? Because, you know, we don't have to pay you anymore. We can get somebody who knows what they're talking about, and that's exactly what we did. We switched the family doctor over to somebody who would listen to reason and understand, you know, this is a real and serious threat to every one of us. So,
I do have to say, though, that I don't think it's entirely a lost cause, because I did hear somebody who went to their family doctor. He's an activist here in, I guess now he's moved to Southern Oregon, Tim Martin. And he works with Kevin Blanch all the time and gives him information about the salmon, right? And he's kind of one of those silent activists. He doesn't really want to be well known, but he really does pay attention. He went to his doctor because we've all been suffering here on the West Coast with this hack, this constant cough, right? And I had to take some pretty aggressive action. Like, I started taking, to be honest, what worked for me was 2 teaspoons of turmeric, a dash of pepper, a tablespoon of coconut oil, and heat that up. I was putting it in my smoothie or drinking it as a drink, and it knocked out the cold. So, well, I added a little bit of honey because the turmeric is a little tough, but lemon. But he went to his doctor, and his doctor did not deny Fukushima. His doctor said, "Yeah, basically, we're really challenged." He didn't say no. He didn't yell at him. My niece went to the doctor and mentioned Fukushima, and the doctor yelled at her and told her, don't ever talk to me about it again. Now, Tim's doctor down in Medford basically kind of gave him the sideways eye and said, yeah, we're under a lot of challenges. He didn't directly say yes, But they're beginning to crack. The doctors are beginning to crack because the evidence is overwhelming.
Yeah, and it's not just evidence. It's the thyroid cancer cases that keep popping up left and right. I mean, when thyroid cancer it becomes as ubiquitous as the flu, you know, it's like, what the heck is going on here? You know, and we all know thyroid cancer comes from two places. It comes from hereditary, and it comes from exposure to nuclear whatever.
Right.
And, you know, what, suddenly everybody's, you know, grandma had thyroid cancer, so now, you know, all the grandkids have thyroid cancer? No. Come on, let's do the math here. You know, I mean, and you can see this in Japan, right? If you look at the thyroid cancer cases for kids in Fukushima Prefecture and areas that were hit by the plume of radiation during the initial disaster in 2011, the math shows that, you know, we're seeing at least 20% over what the national average is in those areas. And it's like, wow, you know, I mean, it's very significant. And then, you know, like you said, the unreported stuff, you know, the stuff that nobody talks about. It's like, wow, I mean, stillbirths, you know, miscarriages, you know, kids
birth
with, you know,
defects.
Drops, you know. Yeah.
Just the birth defects. I made a funny little video. I mean, I deleted all the negative comments, but it wasn't super scientific. But basically what I did was I went to a map of all the nuclear power plants, and then I got a map of on the CDC, they map where the child disabilities are, right? And you overlay the map, and I'm telling you, you could see they were all in the areas where the nuclear power facility, they bled out like an ink pen, you know what I mean? Like it went.
Oh, yeah.
But you could track, you could pretty make, I mean, it's not a total scientific thing, but it's a good hint. It would be a really good suggestion. And in fact, Dr. Busby really did do a scientific study that shows that children living near nuclear power facilities have a much greater risk of contracting cancer and other disabilities, and it's a scientifically proven. He sent me the study, and frankly, that's one of my new missions this week since I'm out of school, is I'm going to start reading that on my YouTube channel. It's a scientific study. A bit dry, but you know what? It's not the first time I've read something dry on my YouTube, because we need to get the information out there.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you about that. I mean, the health concerns, that's number one, right? So we all have to really, really be diligent about that. And I know, like you said, some doctors, you know, they are adamant about standing against any kind of talk like that. It's like, you know, don't go to those doctors, people. Don't listen to them, because they are not going to be there to help you long term.
Not only are they not going to be there to help you long term, they probably won't give you the adequate information about, they probably know nothing. I mean, there are actually things we can do to protect ourselves from these contaminants.
Oh,
like I did, take turmeric, you know, take high levels of vitamin C, make sure you get enough vitamin C, eat your greens. It matters. Eating vegetables matter. I mean, simple things that we can do. And avoid eating chemicals and pesticides, which basically means you're not going to go through fast food places very often.
Right.
I mean, in America, we're kind of addicted to it. So people are like, oh, God, I got to have it. Okay, don't beat yourself up, but don't eat it twice a week. Eat it once a month if you have to, or once every 3 months if you can. You know what I mean? Or once a year. And then eventually you'll like, the, after a while, that stuff starts to look disgusting to you. So.
That is true. You know, you are what you eat, and that's absolute truth. And the thing is, if we all can, like, you know, just take the opportunity to make these little tiny changes in our lifestyle, like you said, you know, watch where you eat, watch what you eat, and, you know, also be aware of where your food comes from. Do people check their packages when they're out shopping and see where the point of origin of their meat or any of their products come from?
A great app. You know, I don't know if you use it, but it's called Bicot. It's free.
Yep.
Bicott.
Yep.
And you just scan it, and it tells you where it came from and who's the vendor. And it really is very helpful.
And it only takes a second to run it when you're at the store. So everyone should download that app and put it on their phone. I've had it for years, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, why don't you talk to people about your basic idea? Because I really love your idea, because you're not telling people to spend all day long or even 3 hours a day or an hour a day. Why don't you tell them about what your basic philosophy is?
Well, let's see. When I first started this back in 2011, I made some videos and I showed them to my family, and my dad gave me some feedback, and he said, you know, it's really good information, but it's kind of long. You know, if you can like keep it short, you know, you're going to have more of an impact. And he was an educator, so, you know, he knew what he was talking about. So I said, okay, so then I just chopped things down to 8-minute bites. And I said, you know what, if you have 8 minutes in your schedule, and I think we all have 8 minutes in our schedule every single day. I mean, guys, we have 1,440 minutes every single day to get into whatever kind of trouble we're going to get into, right? So if you can schedule yourself, just put it in your calendar, put it on your phone, put it wherever it's handy, 8 minutes. This is your superhero time. You put on the cape, you put on the boots, you go beat up bad guys for 8 minutes. And then you go back to your normal life. You know, how hard is it to, like, go on a website, say, this is a cool link, I'm going to share this information with my friends and family, and I'm going to do it on one of my social media platforms. It only takes 8 minutes or less to be able to do that every single day. And if you did that every day, not only would you be educating yourself and your loved ones, but you'd also be feeding the algorithms to the Google spiders and everything, and they would have to start cataloging Fukushima news, Fukushima radiation, Fukushima nuclear disaster. And why do people know about Fukushima now today? Because we have been diligent about it this whole time. Everyone puts in the time every single day. Cuckoo fighters all around the world are doing this. And some people are doing it for longer than 8 minutes. For the people who do that, you know, bless them and thank them for all of their hard work and diligence. Some people do it for, you know, less than 8 minutes, but they still show up. Great. You know, it doesn't matter to me how much time you put in. You just got to show up and do it.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that every time you share a story, it forces the algorithms to pick it up. And then the more the people share, the greater the algorithms are. So the more likely people will be able to hear about the news.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, see, here's the thing. Google and YouTube, as you probably know, Lonnie, they have been sort of downplaying things with Fukushima nuclear disaster over the years, even maybe tweaking their algorithms to, you know, market as quote-unquote controversial information, right? You know, how many times has E&E News been taken down? How many times have, you know, we've been slapped with, you know, videos have been taken down by YouTube saying, oh, well, this is, you know, flagged or blah, 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 right? You know, guys, please understand that there are more resources out there than just Google. There's Bing, there's Yahoo, there's all these other search engines that are not just, you know, here in the States, around the world also, right? They all have to pick up the data, because once you create and share content on the web, the spiders have to go and get it, okay? What the spiders do with the data once they get it, you know, they're supposed to be able to put it in the algorithm and make it part of the greater collective whole. And once that's established, then, you know, it becomes part of the consciousness of the web itself. And I see it all the time now, right? If you talk to people on the street, just stop at somebody on the street today and ask them, hey, do you know about Fukushima? They might give you a quizzical look, but then you inform them a little bit, oh, it's that thing in Japan. Yeah, I heard about that. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they would have just given you a completely blank stare. They would have been like, what? What are you talking about? I never heard of that. Right? People know about Fukushima now because of the work that we do every day. And like I said, you feed those algorithm spiders the information, the content that they that's what they're there for. That's what they go and pick up every day. They can't help but take it in. And, you know, they cannot ignore it. And, you know, no matter, you know, whatever the propagandists will have you believe, you know, we have momentum. We're the ones that are writing the narrative going forward on this. So, you know, I just think, you know, if people really understood the power that they hold in their hands every day with their smartphones, the ability to literally reach anyone around the world instantaneously with data, good data, about what's going on in their world, wow. I think if people really understood that kind of power, they would use it a lot more and to great benefit. And I'm seeing that more and more, too. Activism across the board over the last 5 years, over the last year, in 2017, one of the greatest activist years I've ever seen here in the United States. There are people in the streets now that, you know, we haven't seen it like this since the 60s.
That's because people are scared to death of Traitor Trump. That's why. He's made it out in the open. His fascism, he doesn't even try to pretend. Like this weekend, I saw this post. I was quite outraged when Eric Prince basically told Congress to go F themselves, right to their faces in a hearing, said, look, this is a waste of my time. Can I get out of here? And I read that Obama gave him a $9 billion contract for the war on drugs, a no-bid contract from Obama. Sure. So people are freaked out because Traitor Trump is just open about it. But that's what we need. I'm glad he is, because you know what? It is going to take us to get active. And the other thing is, don't take it for granted that you like it. On my YouTube subscription this morning, when I was logging in to check in on everything, you know, I saw that. I was like, wow, I haven't heard from Thomas Ackerman on the YouTubes in quite a while. And I went to his specific site because I subscribed to him. YouTube has not been telling me that Thomas Ackerman's put up, like, I don't know, four videos that I saw that I have not watched in the last 2 weeks, because I'm on
it.
This is what I mean. And so you kind of have to kind of get hip to what they're doing. There's ways around it. That's the thing. If you think, if you use your brain and use your logic, there's ways around it. We don't have to just be spoon fed the lies.
Exactly. And see, here's the thing, you know, all of these, you know, internet naysayers, blah blah blah. Look, here's the thing, this is not going away. All right, this is not going to change. You know, if anything, we have a long ways to go and a lot of work to do. So, you know, any type of ways of suppressing the information, whether it be through propaganda and PR, to, you know, basically switching things up, you know, algorithmically, or, you know, within the settings so that you cannot get the information, or it's not popping up for you first. You know, there are workarounds, and that's what's great about the internet. I've been on the web for over 20 years now, and it always adapts, it always evolves, and you just have, as the consumer, you just have to be able to look at what your needs are and how your adaptations can fit into what the internet is giving you.
Dave, I have a question to ask you about your website.
Sure.
On Operation Save the Earth, you have a four-step plan, 1, 2, 3, 4, right?
4 steps, yep.
But this is completely non sequitur, but I want to ask you about why you picked that symbol, because it was funny. You, 1, 2, 3, 4, it doesn't go clockwise, it goes counterclockwise. Was that intentional to, like, set the clock back?
That's a good way of looking at it.
That's what I thought, Lonnie, when I saw it. So I just thought thanks for asking about that.
That graphic is something I came up with very early on during the process. Basically, what I wanted to do was create a medicine wheel. I don't know if you're familiar with Native American culture at all, but a medicine wheel is something that we have used for generations now. It's something, you know, it's sort of a guideline for how to basically live in life, you know, whatever the situation is, the medicine wheel, you know, can guide you. So I wanted to create a medicine wheel to guide us to be able to, you know, overcome this problem. And, you know, it being, you know, counterclockwise the way it is, I just really kind of structured it in a medicine wheel kind of way. And that's how it really kind of works for those types of things. It's not clockwise in the medicine wheel, it's more counterclockwise. And actually, if I really did it the right way, it would be slanted so that the one would be at the top and the three would be at the bottom. That's how a true medicine wheel is supposed to go. It is kind of a different sort of symbol, and I wanted people to, like, really kind of like see it for what it is. And, you know, the color scheme of that is very specific. You know, the one is based on the Japanese flag. You know, the colors of the flag are right there to educate yourself with. The number two, those are the United States colors. It's blue and white, right? Because, you know, we have to evacuate Fukushima now, and that's our job. We have to be able to take that responsibility, because GE, you know, was the one who, you know, came up with the schematics for that plant. So, you know, we are responsible for the well-being of the people of Japan, just as much as the government is there. And the number three is blue and green. I gave it those colors for the ocean, which has been most impacted by this disaster. And I knew, you know, early on, it's like once I heard that there was quadrillions of becquerels of various radionuclides released in the Pacific Ocean in 2011, I was like, well, that's going to be the real linchpin right there. If we don't take care of the ocean, that's it. You know, the whole food chain is going to collapse on us, and that's bearing itself out today. And the last one for step four, it's purple and gold, and to me, that's championship colors right there. You know, royalty and victory. So, you know, and what is step four? Nuclear power is over. It's the only one that's a declarative statement in the four-step plan. And man, that's probably where we've made our most headway. The nuclear power industry is literally in a tailspin. General Electric is selling off stock left and right, and basically, what I heard, they're laying off like 12,000 energy workers over the next year. And it's like, man, you know, the writing's not just on the wall. The wall is coming down when it comes to nuclear energy. No matter what type of subsidies, no matter what type of, you know, sweetheart deals that, you know, whichever administration is pitching for it, you know, people don't want that crap anymore. What the nuclear power industry hasn't figured out is, like, we, the lay people, understand the concept of three strikes, you're out.
Although,
you know,
I do
so after
have
Chernobyl,
to say,
after Three Mile Island, after Fukushima, you're done. We do not need you.
Though, Dave, because I just read an article this morning that Argentina's booting up like some nuclear. They're going all in on nuclears. Like $300 billion contract was signed in Argentina. You know, they're really focusing on South America, because South America has very few nuclear facilities, and they really resisted uranium mining until 2012. And that's another story that I really believe those microencephaly babies were all caused by the uranium mining. So we have to be diligent, because, okay, we're chasing them out of the West, and we're chasing them out of the Northern Hemisphere, but they are looking at the whole planet going, great. You know what I mean? Like, so we have to be diligent to really educate the people in the Southern Hemisphere also. This is why the activists down in Australia are so awesome, because there's huge groups in Australia that are not huge, but a core of people who are just relentless and refuse. They show up every time they try to do something. And that's what it takes, is showing up.
Yeah, and you're right about that, Lonnie. And being relentless, that is the real key to our success. You know, the bad guys, they're too busy playing golf, not us. No, we show up and we do the work every day. I mean, look at the Metropolitan Coalition Against Nukes. Every Friday night, what do? They show up in Tokyo after work. They go to Prime Minister Abe's residence right across the street. And they jump up and down, and they bang on stuff, and they play musical instruments, and they get on the microphone, and they are loud. Every single week they show up. And
what's their name?
You know, it's making a difference.
What's their name?
Yeah, it's the Metropolitan Coalition Against Nukes. They have a Facebook page. Go and check it out. And they actually I think they have website and mailing letters too. So. Get involved with what they're doing, because to me they're my heroes. You know, when I see the pictures of them protesting every single Friday, it's my great pleasure to be able to share those pictures on my Facebook page every single week and say, look, you know, Japan, the country that wouldn't protest against anything for anything, guess what? They are doing it every week for you, for everybody else out there. Because it's that important.
Dave, let me ask you about this. How does that affect the secrecy laws there? Like, do they get into trouble? Do they get arrested? Or what happens with them?
Yeah, that's a good question. They did have a site there that I think they had to take down. It was just like sort of a little informational booth that they had set up. Kind of like the one that's across the street from the White House that those guys run. But that's the only real thing, you know. Yeah, the state secrets law that they passed a few years ago. What we've seen is suppression on the internet side of things. You know, fewer and fewer resources either blogs or, you know, just news sources in general when it comes to Fukushima and radiation. That's been suppressive. But when it comes to the voices of the people, no. The people are speaking out about the concerns they have about radiation because it directly affects them. It directly affects their food supply. It directly affects their kids, you know, and especially once it starts affecting your kids, oh, buddy, you better watch out because Mama and Papa Bear will show up and they will make their voices heard.
Here I am, man. That's how I feel. Exactly. This is exactly the reason I can't get over it, because I look at my beautiful grandchildren and think about their future life. And if I don't do everything I can, regardless of how effective it is, like the fact is, the fact that I'm doing it makes it effective. That's what I've decided. Like every little drop fills the cup. And that's what matters. Yeah. That's what Operation Save the Earth is about. Every drop fills the cup, and every one of us are a drop in the cup.
Right. And see, here's the thing, you know, by doing that, Lonnie, what are you doing? You're leading by example, you know, so your kids, your grandkids are going to do what? Oh, well, Grandma Lonnie is an activist, so I'm going to be that too. Yes, of course, you're naturally, you know, going to be more inclined to do that, you know.
And
so,
you know,
and
what
I've been saying.
Even though my daughters really don't want to talk about this, they really, it's like the F word, please don't discuss it. My daughter did confess to me, the one with the children, she's got four children now. She basically told me, you know, Mom, I have been listening to what you're saying, and she's done her own background work on this without telling me about it. And they have modified some of, you know, they're vegan, so which is good, and they're, you know, they eat organic. We live here in Oregon. But she has modified some of her things, and she does understand now the severity of letting the children go to play out in snow and to play in the rain. And she is has coached the children. She's like, look, she's saying it, and she's telling them in words that she thinks it doesn't make them afraid, because we don't want our children to live in fear, but they need to be advised, you know. And so this is partly what we really must do, is figure out ways to gently move people into this. And speaking of that, Dave, I haven't asked you about this off the air, but it just occurred to me, today is 12/11. We have 3 months to plan the 3/11 protest on 3/11/2018. That will be 7 long years of TEPCO bumbling and being in charge and acting like they're doing something. What do you think is the best kinds of things that we can do to protest, like street protests? I don't know. I mean, what would be an effective way? I mean, what's your suggestion?
Well, you know, all of the above is working on so many levels. Look at the net neutrality thing. You know, people are in the streets. People are writing their congressmen. People are making web posts. People are doing all this stuff, right? And it's getting traction. You know, mainstream media is starting to pay attention because celebrities are showing up and saying, hey, this is no good, right? So, you know, really an all of the above approach is what I would recommend. Now, could we have another, you know, million-person march like we did, you know, in the 80s in New York to, you know, illustrate the importance of denuclearization? We sure can. You know, and can we get some media outlets to report about it? Maybe. We'll see. You know, that's the thing. You know, as long as the media is controlled by the corporate sponsors, and the corporate sponsors include Exelon and GE and, you know, all these other nuclear providers, you know, they're not going to be apt to spread the word about, you know, what the anti-nukers are doing, right? So, you know, what we really need to do is just, you know, diversify and, you know, come up with innovative ways to get the information out. You know, if that means, you know, printing t-shirts and, you know, walking around the street and saying, you know, this is what's going on. It's the 7-year anniversary, you know, and ask me about my t-shirt. You know, that's one way to do it too, right? There's all sorts of ways. And that's been my message the whole time, Lonnie, with Operation Save the Earth. Everybody brings their own talent to the fight. Everybody has their own set of skills. Nobody is bereft of skills. Nobody has no skills in life, all right? Whatever you can do best, do it for this. Do it for which cause, you know, is important to you. And guess what? amazing things will happen. I have seen it time and time and time again. So, you know, do it. Whatever you're going to do, do it.
Mm-hmm. I think we definitely, I'm definitely going to be doing something. I think it's actually, to me, 7 years is a big long mark that, you know, we have been led to believe that what's going on in Fukushima, that they're handling it, that they're the fact that they call it decommissioning to me is offensive, because it's not, they're not decommissioning those plants.
No.
They're cleaning up a catastrophe that's ongoing. I mean, it's still still not resolved. They have no idea what they put boxes around the plants, but essentially that's about it. They're starting to clean. They've now invented a robot that can go in and take a look at and see where the debris is or not there.
Yeah.
But the news is actually kind of grave, because they really do want to dump all that radioactive waste right into the water there. You know, they're really intent on just ignoring it all, moving along and saying, hey, get used to it.
Yeah, the issue with the water at the plant has been literally an ongoing one from the jump. By pumping up this radioactive wastewater from the plant and then storing it, and then it goes through a process to remove radionuclides, and they remove everything except for tritium, because tritium cannot, once it becomes fused with water, it can't be divorced from it. It becomes H3O, heavy water, right? So, you know, that's what they're really talking about, you know, dumping these hundreds of thousands of tons of radioactive wastewater into the ocean. It's tritiated water. Now, the thing is, their argument, TEPCO's argument, the IAEA's argument, so forth, NRA, they're like, well, it's just heavy water, and, you know, blah, 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 half-life is nothing, and da-da-da, even though it bioaccumulates in the body, you know, it's like any other radionuclide. But the fishermen on the northeast coast there that haven't been able to get any fishing done since this thing started, all they're doing is catching test fish to see how radioactive they are, they are like, no, you can't do this. On top of all this, you want to, you know, throw this other stuff in here? So that's really why, you know, there's been this holdup about, you know, dumping the water. Are they going to have to dump the water eventually? I think they are, actually. I've been saying this for a long time. I think they are actually just going to have to dump the water, because, I mean, if you go to Google Earth and you go and look at the plant itself, it's mostly water tanks there at the plant now, right?
Well, the problem with those tanks is that they weren't meant to last. They were meant to last 3 to 5 years. So now they're, like, plugging holes in tanks that are leaking. I have had this sneaking suspicion. There's no confirmation, but every time they get hit with a hurricane, I'll bet you 2-1 they just open up those tanks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time a typhoon blows through, you better believe it. And if you think that TEPCO hasn't been dumping water this whole time into the Pacific Ocean, boy, you're wrong about that. I mean, is there still escapement of water up to the estimated tune of 100 tons a day? You better believe it, you know, and go check the IAEA numbers. They're the ones who monitor radiation levels off the Pacific coast every month, and you'll see it. It's right there. So, you know, let's, you know, stop, you know, sugarcoating what it is, and, you know, stop, you know, using, you know, fancy words like decommissioning everything. You know, let's get to work. Let's actually do something here, you know, instead of listening to Dale Klein, you know, whine about, oh, how come, you know, we can't reopen nuclear plants in Japan? Oh, shut up, fool. You know, here's what we need to do. You know, we need to, like, get an international consortium on site and fix, you know, get some solutions here. That's what step three is, you know, control and contain the situation, because they are doing neither. You know, it's all busy work. You spend $300 million in an ice wall that doesn't work. Three guys die putting it up. Is it worth it? Not really. I don't think so. So, and now, you know, Russia. Russia's the only one, the only international entity that has said, we are going to step up and we're going to help, okay? The United States has sort of taken this hands-off approach to Fukushima Daiichi. It's like, oh, well, you know, TEPCO says they got it, so blah, blah, blah. And we just send, like, little advisor people over, you know, who say, oh, we'll do this and do that, and then that's it. Russia is finally stepping up and said, okay, we're going to see what we can do to help. And one of their spokesmen, Andrei Ivanov, said last week that different options of cooperation are being discussed, including, you know, respect of taking the defective fuel out of Fukushima because there's still spent fuel in all of the fuel ponds there. It's in 1 through 6. So, I mean, that's just the beginning, right? And here's the thing. Even the Russians are like, where do you start? Really? I mean, it's such a mess.
Right. And especially after so long of just sheer neglect. Like,
oh, yeah.
They've shuffling cards. They've really not done anything. I mean, and the reality is they don't have the technology. They admitted it almost pretty shortly afterwards. Like, it's going to take us 40 years to figure this out, at least.
You know, their immediate response, let's send in fire trucks. Okay, that's not going to really help that much, but okay. You know, I mean, there was this sort of, you know, consensus. You know, first of all, you know, the culture, the whole nuclear culture is that safety culture. Oh, it can never happen. You know, it's like 0.0001% chance that, you know, anything bad can happen. And then it happens. Not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but, you know, if you look at the entire history of the nuclear era, there's spills, there's wrecks, there's damage all along the past 75 years, right?
Even just looking up at tritium, you know, Wikipedia, who's not that reliable of a source, has said here that 48 of 65 nuclear sites in the U.S. are leaking tritium right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they consider it not that bad because, you know, this is the weird part. They say it only harms you if you ingest it. Well, where does it go? It goes into our water.
Water supply, and then you're drinking it, and like I said, if I accumulate inside your body, exactly, right?
Who wants tritium? What they're counting on is that people are going to get so overwhelmed and go, wow, I guess there's nothing we can do. And then they just lay back and let them take it.
Yeah, and they're the ones that are just going to allow this world to become even more radioactive than it already is.
I mean,
it's going to get worse and worse and worse over time instead of better.
It's our generation. It's imperative that our generation step up to the plate and save the planet. That's about how basic it gets, really.
Yeah, you know, it goes beyond that, Lonnie. Our generation has got to educate the next generation to do the heavy lifting on this because, I mean, how many reactors are here in the United States? 99 reactors are currently active here in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? 40% of Americans live within a 50-mile radius of a nuclear reactor. 40% of Americans. Okay, so that means there's a pretty good chance that one of your listeners out there is going, hey, you know, maybe I live close to one. Yeah, you better believe you do, homie, because, you know, that water you're drinking, like you said, how much tritium does it have in it? Are you testing it at home? Probably not, right? Me, myself, I only drink distilled water. We have a distiller here at the house, and what I have in my water is H2O. That is it. I don't have anything else in my water, so it's super, super important that people understand.
So distilled water
where
takes
your
out
water
tritium?
Comes from. Yeah, it takes out all of everything. It's just H2O. That's it. You know, that or reverse osmosis water. If you're not, you know, you have to at least have carbon filtration, right?
At
because
least.
That takes out a lot of bad stuff, right? Everyone has to have at least carbon filtration in their homes.
And
if,
even in
if
your
you
shower,
can't have that,
get a shower filter
right,
off.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. Like I said, if you don't have that, then please, please, please consider reverse osmosis or distilled water for your drinking water, for all of your water needs, because it's that important. Remember how we talked about, you know, earlier in the hour, you know, you are what you eat? That's just as true for the water that you drink, and just as true for anything, you know, the water-based that you have after that, you know. So you really, really got to be conscious of that.
Yeah, and this is the thing. We can't give up. This is why I like your website. It's about us facing the reality, understanding what we have to do, and then deciding that there's more to life than just being, focused on dealing with these catastrophes. There's a lot more to do. This is why I like what you say. It takes 8 minutes a day. All it takes is if everybody put in 8 minutes a day,
we could
actually really create a sea change. It doesn't take a lot of effort.
Oh, yeah.
But it requires all of us to do it. I mean, that's the thing. It's not just going to be, Donna Gilmore was like, look, I created my page so people could use it. I don't want to be the only one out here doing it.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because it's true. We can't, you can't just rely on the people who have a lot of time that can deal with this or who have made it
That's
their
true.
Career to be facing these issues. The reason they're facing these issues, and this is in fact why I can't get a lot of the activists that have made it their career, is they're busy. They are lobbying Congress. They are listening to the NRC. They are doing things that are actually affecting things. But the public pressure, the public has no idea how strong the pressure that we can put on them can make a difference in the response from the governments.
Oh, absolutely. It's like I said earlier, you know, the structural parts of the government, they still work. You know, I mean, remember this, Lonnie, last year, you know, we had a Republican Congress, a Republican president, and judicial system that's dominated by conservatives, and y'all still couldn't get that health care bill passed twice. Why? Because people got on the phone, went to their congressman's office, and said, "You are not taking away my benefits." It worked, didn't it? You had mm-hmm. you had majority Congress, and they still couldn't get it done. Why? Because people stood up and they did the work. And everyone can do it. I mean, that's the beauty of the 8 minutes, right? Look, Lonnie, I mean, Spider-Man isn't Spider-Man 24 hours a day, right? He's got a job. He's got a girlfriend. He's got no responsibility. But when he puts that suit on and goes and beats up the bad guys, only takes him about 8 minutes to do it. You know, he gets a couple quips in, and then he does his job, right? Hands off the bad guys to the cops, goes back to his life, goes back to his girlfriend, goes back to his responsibility. That's all I'm saying with the 8 minutes. You, too, out there can do that. You just got to put in the schedule. You got to make it a priority for yourself. With great power comes great responsibility, and that great power is in your hand. You got a cell phone, use it.
Why don't you tell people what your four steps are?
Sure, the four steps, real simple, right? When the disaster first began, I was like, we need a plan. Can somebody, like, come up with a plan here? Because we ain't got one, right? So I just came up with the most basic, you know, fire safety plan you can come up with, right? Ring, 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 there's a fire. What do? You got to know where the fire is, right? Step one, educate and safeguard. You got to know more, do more, be more about what's going on at Fukushima because it's happening to you today. Step two, hey, you know, it's evacuate Fukushima now. We got to get the moms and kids out, right? If the house is burning, you got to get the moms and kids and all the kiddies out. Same deal, right? We still have, you know, close to 2 million people living in Fukushima Prefecture. And it's like, what? No. People in Fukushima City, people in Koriyama City, why? Don't leave. Y'all need to leave, you know? So that's what that is. Step two. Step three, control and contain the situation. You got to put the fire out, right? You know, when radionuclide is still leaking, you know, from reactors 1, 2, 3, and 4, 2 days, you know, 2,460 some days later, guess what? That's still a problem and it still exists and we still got to take care of it. Step four, nuclear power is over. It's definitely over. You know, I don't care what kind of Tony Stark, you know, miracles y'all are hoping for with molten salt and all these little small modular reactors that y'all have been talking about for the past 20 years. But, you know, nobody's investing in that. Nobody wants to make hundreds of millions of dollars when you were making billions of dollars. So why are you even bothering? You know, this deal with Argentina that you were talking about earlier, Lonnie? Look, just because loans are guaranteed don't mean that the plants are going to get built. Ask the people in South Carolina. Ask the people in Georgia who are still
True.
Trying to build that stupid plant, right?
True.
You know, and it's like I've been saying, you know, just because they're handing out the money don't mean the plant's going to get built because it takes 10 years and billions of dollars, probably more than what you actually budgeted for. That's usually the case. And then it takes billions of dollars to run the plant for 30, 40 years. And then untold billions of dollars to take care of the waste afterwards. Man, you ain't got billions enough to handle the nuclear problem. Not when you can go spend, you know, a fraction of that on a solar panel, on a wind system, on geothermal, on all these other renewable ways of making energy that, you know, you can turn to every single day and won't pollute the environment. You don't have to make a phone call to the governor if your solar panels go down. Hey, you know, no. If your nuclear plant goes down, yeah, you do got to make that phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's the four steps. pretty simple,
that's it.
Right?
That's it. That's it. It really is a simple four-step program. And this is a thing, it's something that every person can actually engage in. And really,
absolutely,
the big thing is the educate yourself and educate your family.
Yeah.
You know, safeguard yourself. Take those daily actions to safeguard. And don't get flipped out. Like, the assault is ongoing. You did a quick video post about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where you said, look, dudes, this is a long-term plan. This isn't like a marathon. This is longer than a marathon. When you said that, hit me like a ton of bricks, because that's the reality.
Yep.
This is longer than a long-term plan.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. You know, that's why we have to get the next generation ready for this, you know, because once they're parents and they got kids, you know, what's their number one job? Taking care of their kids, right? And those kids are your grandkids, right? And how important are your grandkids to you? I don't know a grandparent that, you know, doesn't dote on their grandkids, you know, doesn't think they're the leg of their life, you know? So if you
care
about
the... But Dave, I have a question to ask you about this.
Get on it.
How do we counter, because I've come, you know, I have a Kevin Finnegan, he's a Fuku fighter, young pup, we call him Baby Wolf, right? He's so angry, like super angry. How do we deal with that? Because that anger isn't, me and him have had this conversation. Yeah. It is quite, I think, it takes away from our ability to really move this project forward if we stay in anger. We are angry about having been lied to, but how do we activate beyond the anger? You have a suggestion?
That is a great, great question, Lonnie. And, you know, I think everyone has to deal with this, you know, not just, you know, anti-nukers, but anyone who's an activist and sees, you know, injustice taking place, you know. Let the anger be the thing that spurs you into action. Don't let it be the thing that motivates you beyond that. Because after that, you can use the energy from the anger to guide you, but you should not use anger itself to guide you. Because if you do that, then you're believe me, the back loop that's going to come on you will be harsh. You know, it's a personal thing that you're not going to want to face down the road. And like I said, you know, I've seen people where the anger, you know, it just consumes them. You know, it gets to be too much. And then they just, like, have a mental crack. And then you're not helping anyone or anybody, certainly not yourself, right? So, you know, dealing with anger, dealing with the emotions attached to this, the frustrations, everything that it comes with, it can be challenging. But you can't let it be your motivating force. You absolutely cannot, because, you know, if we spend our time being angry at TEPCO executives, being angry at the Obama administration, being angry at everyone in the nuclear industry who's helped, you know, perpetuate this, you know, what are you going to get done? What are you actually doing other than being angry, right? Like I said, use that energy as a force for the good that you can create, right? It's all about this, like I said before, the skills and the talents that you bring to the fight. It's not about the anger that you bring, you know? So, you know, it's funny you should bring this up. You know, one of my favorite superheroes in life is the Incredible Hulk, right? I loved the Hulk when I was growing up. You know, I totally related to him, you know, because when I get angry, I get really angry. It's only for a minute, but it's super, super angry, and people, like, they have to jump back and move out of my way.
I'm with you on that. That's where how I go. I say, like, I'm like a stick of dynamite with a long fuse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But once it blows, and you better be not in the area. So, you know, knowing that, it's like, okay, if I Hulk out and just, you know, rah, all the time, what am I doing? You know, how's that benefiting anyone?
Right.
You know, do you see teachers, you know, getting angry about stuff, you know, during their when they're teaching? No. You might see them get emotional sometimes about some things, but angry? Usually not. That you can't teach really with anger, right? You can only vent. You can only, you know, express with anger, and that's not what we need now. That is not what we need now. That's not what the next generation needs. You know, they need information, and knowledge is power. So, you know, anger is not power. It's an emotion. Knowledge is power. So, you know, as long as we key on that and, you know, use the anger to, you know, be our motivator, and then we should be able to, you know, continue our winning streak, because that's what we got going on right now. Now, and as far as mitigating the emotions, that's, you know, that's a whole different story. You know, I use meditation. I have a spiritual guide that, you know, helps me every week to, you know, kind of help me, you know, get centered and focused. And, you know, use your resources. Use your squad around you. Use your clergy folk. Use your, you know, whoever is around you with that positive energy. And that's really the real key right there, Lonnie. Surround yourself with positive people always. You do that, and believe me, the rest is easy. You know, my squad here in Phoenix and, you know, all the Fuku fighters, they're positive energy people. And you know what? They get stuff done. You know, the negative energy people, they're too busy whining and moaning and complaining to get stuff done, right? And that's, we ain't got time for that. So focus on that positive. And, you know, like I said, use that anger as a motivator.
How often do you call your legislators? Do you think that's valuable?
Absolutely. I think, you know, you should call your legislator's office whenever you feel the need to. That's what they're there for. They are public servants. They are there to take care of your needs as a constituency, right? So if they're out doing a town hall meeting, go show up. If they're out at an event, go show up. If they're not in their office, call and talk to their people. Absolutely. Send letters, send emails. Don't let up on them, okay? Because as you can see, they're human too. How many people have had to step down in the last week, you know, because of this, that, or the other thing? And it's like, why? Because pressure from within, pressure from without. They have to respond to pressure. That's their job, right? So if you put the pressure on, no matter what it is, guess what? Results, it shows up.
Dave, this has been really awesome, I have to say. I hope that you'll come back again, because I think it's important for us to, keep propping each other up, because this, as you say, this is a long term. I mean, it's multifaceted. We have to keep our energies up. We need to continue to educate ourselves to figure out what's real, what's not real, because there's a lot of misinformation being dished out by the nuclear industry to get us off track. And there is a lot of misinformation by people with good intentions that haven't done their homework. And then we have to help mitigate the negative effects on our own body. So it's kind of, as we say, being a Fuku fighter is almost like a lifestyle. But I don't think we've come into this voluntarily, but it is our duty and our obligation. So I want to thank you for joining us, man. This has been totally awesome.
It's my pleasure, Lonnie. And just remember, listeners, Fuku, the word Fuku in Japanese means a lot of different things, but one of the things it means is good fortune. And that's what the Fuku fighters do, is we create our own good fortune by doing the good work every single day, every single week, every single year since this thing began.
That's awesome, Dave. I did not know that. So please go to OperationSaveTheEarth.com, Dave. Okay, and put your courage feet on, you guys. Take action. You can do it. We can all join forces, and we can save our planet. Talk to you guys tomorrow.